You're listening to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 59, sponsored by GeekArmor.com. Hey, welcome to iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast. It's episode 59. I'm Josh, and I'm here with Connor.
What's up?
And Ron.
How you doing?
Yeah, friends. Yeah? Anyway, at iFanboy.com, we read a whole bunch of comics because we like them. And then one of us each week picks the best of the books that they read this week, and then we come here and we talk about it in the podcast and on the website, iFanboy.com. It's a good time had by all, unless we didn't like the book you liked, and then you write us letters. Anyway.
But they still like listening to us not liking the book that they liked.
Some do.
Some do. Some don't.
Some seethe in quiet rage. Anyway, before we get to the show, always we like to remind people that we're going to be talking about the books that came out this past week, so there's a good chance that if you haven't read your books yet, we would ruin it for you, and we don't want to do that. So if you haven't read your books yet, hit the pause and come back later and listen to it and enjoy it fully for its review splendor.
And that's especially important this week because we're completely ruining this issue. So for anybody
and the series.
Yeah, in the series, yeah.
Because, you know, well, that's okay. Wizards ruin a lot of series for me.
Oh, we just can't get away from that, can we? So anyway, I had to pick this week, and I chose Strangers in Paradise number 86. And first off, you know, I'm going to warn everybody, we're going to bring it down a notch. Okay, yeah. So if you want to go get your tissue box, if you want to sit down, get comfortable.
Or if you're like most of the listeners, you probably haven't read it and don't know what we're talking about, so skip about 10 minutes forward.
But we've talked about it before in the past, and Strangers in Paradise is a indie book that's been around for about a little over 10 years now, and it's written, drawn, and everything by Terry Moore. It's black and white, self-published by his studio, Abstract Studio, except for about, 12 or 13 issues that were done through Homage, Jim Lee's little signature lines, little creator-owned line.
Who's Terry Moore, Ron?
Terry Moore
is man in comics.
One of the nicest men in comics.
You have to say one of because of Jeff Smith.
Right, exactly, and they're buddies, so I don't think they would mind that either. But Jeff Smith is super nice too, and it's surprise, surprise that they're
Jeff
both
Smith
nice.
Does Bone, by the way,
yeah, or did Bone? Now he's doing Shazam.
He just reprints Bone over.
I'm
over
a juvenile
for the rest of his life.
Now in color, now in different color. So Strangers in Paradise. It's an indie book, black and white. Not superheroes. It's a drama, if anything. With a little bit of comedy at times. It's kind of a relationshipy book. It centers around two.
Was
girls.
There action at some point?
There's some action.
Yeah.
There's some intrigue. Yeah, there was some. You know, there's an underground crime syndicate.
Wasn't there like an international prostitution ring?
You know what
or
we're gonna do is he's describing the premise, and then we'll get to that.
All right.
So you just Ron,
I'm completely lost. I'm just trying to keep up.
Ron, you very succinctly described it, and I was
thank you.
It's because it's a hard book to explain.
Yeah, basically, it revolves around this relationship of two women. One is Francine, who is a bit lacks some self confidence, is a little overweight, very realistic. And she and her best friend, who she met in high school, whose name is Kachu, which is a nickname of sorts. Her real name is Katina
Chuvansky.
Yeah. And Katina is a tough girl. She shoots guns. She gets in fights. She's also an artist. She was a lesbian prostitute in her past. Very different as they can be. But for some reason, they're drawn to each other. And a large part of this, Kachu's seeing the beauty in Francine, seeing the inner beauty as well as the outer beauty of Francine for who she is. And
over the course of the book, as Connor was alluding to, it goes all over the place.
Right. Well, they're basically Kachu was this lesbian prostitute, which was part of a crime syndicate called the Parker Girls, which is run by a woman named Darcy Parker. And by the way, we're spoiling the entire series of Strangers in Paradise, but that shouldn't stop you if you've never read it to go read it, because this book is probably one of the best indie books to come out of comics in ages.
What does Francine see in Kachu?
That she believes in her, stands by her side. But the thing is, Francine. Now that what makes it complicated is that they're best friends. But then, Kachu you know, says, you know, hey, I love you, you know, and wants to take it that direction. And Francine is very, they're Southern, there's like Texas, you know, that kind of deal. So Francine is very, no, that's wrong, that's not right, we shouldn't be like that, you know, like that's not normal. All Francine wants is Francine wants a husband, wants to be a housewife, wants to make dinner, wants to have babies. She wants like the American dream type thing. But unfortunately she can't, and through the past 10 years we've seen how she just can't find it, mainly because her happiness lies with Ketchu. But over the span of the 10 years, they've fought, they've reunited. A lot of Kachu's past has caught up with her in terms of this crime syndicate, and that's where a lot of the intrigue, there was a...
This is a real... The thing about the story is that, like, we can describe it for you a little bit, but over the course of the 10 years, it's been this huge, revolving, epic story that has gone all over the place and really has done all sorts of different types of stories, from funny, cute, to... action
to romance,
to slap crime, and it's like all over the place, and it's sort of all things to some people.
And what's also interesting is that he's time shifted a lot in this series, where there's a set timeline, but almost right as you get comfortable with the timeline and where we are right now, he jumps back to when they're in high school, or he jumps ahead to when they're old and gray. Or he, you know, like, so there, remember there was one point where it was a really decisive turning point, and the next issue was like a flashback. We went back like 5-10 years or something like that, and it was like totally threw everybody off. And it was, I mean, some very creative storytelling, and, I mean, just an amazing, amazing book.
And it's done by one guy.
Yep.
And he writes, draws, inks, letters, and puts it out every 6 weeks.
He goes to the press, he jumps in a truck and delivers them around the country.
Exactly, and this is published in what it's like a ton of different languages around the world. I mean, like it's a great indie success story. Why this issue was good and why it was meaningful was because in addition to Francine Ketchu as lead characters, there's also a third character whose name is David, who in the grand scheme of the story turns out to have been the brother of the woman who ran the crime syndicate that Ketchu was in trouble with, and he was actually sent by his sister to go find Ketchu and like bring her down or bring her back in or this whole kind of thing, and he ends up falling in love with her and
becoming a born again Christian,
all this kind of stuff. And he becomes a third kind of character in this main character triangle kind of way, because you know David loves Ketchu, Ketchu loves Francine, and Francine's oblivious. She's not oblivious.
She knows what she feels like, but she doesn't want to be. She doesn't want to be gay.
Right.
So she doesn't want to accept that, and then. And then there's a couple of other characters that float around in the circle outside of that, and
you know what I think is amazing about that though is like because it's hard to because whenever you try to tell somebody, oh well, it's about two girls who are in love with each other, invariably you get the oh that's hot, you know, kind of thing, or you get the puzzled look. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that the same sex aspect of the relationship to me has never been a factor.
No,
like, it just makes sense. Like it's not like, oh, they're lesbians, or, you know what I mean? Like it's like and I don't know if that's an attest to my, you know, enlightenment or the way he's told the story. You know, I think it's a little bit of both, but I think it's also like that's why, you know, GLAAD and the whole, you know, a lot of the, you know, the gay group, lifestyle group and stuff like that love him, because it's a positive portrayal where the issue isn't about who you sleep with, it's about who you sleep with. You know what I mean? It's not about the gender of the person you sleep with, it's the person who you're in love with, you know.
It would be incorrect, I think, to call this like a gay book.
Yes.
Because that isn't anything to do with what it is.
Right,
it's
about relationships.
Yes, it is, and those relations and how any given relationship sort of falls along a certain spectrum of friendship and romantic love.
Right,
and I think that one of the things that this book does is it puts that slider up and down for the different characters at different times.
Right,
in a very realistic way.
Very, very realistic. But the thing is that what I failed to mention in my written review, if you go to ifanboy.com and you look at the pick of the week, you see that I wrote a review of this. And I don't know if it's because I just got caught up in the moment, because it was an interesting review to write. But one thing about this particular character, David, who is the focus of this issue, I've never liked him. Like, I actually did just dislike the character. Like, I thought he was intrusive. I didn't like, you know, like, because I'm rooting for the two girls. And every time he came in, he was a real, for years, he was a real downer. And he was just kind of like this mopey, you know, kind of thing. And I never liked him. In this issue, he dies. So there's your spoiler. A few issues back, now keep in mind, this guy has, you know, survived in a crime syndicate. He's, you know, he survived a plane crash. Like, he's been through a shitload of stuff. Turns out he has a brain tumor. and totally inoperable, totally, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's some risky surgery that they were preparing to take him to do in Germany that he had like a 20% chance of living through, and that's what they were. And what they were trying to do was, before they went to do the surgery, he was frantically having sex with Kachu to try to impregnate her so they someone could have his child. Which sounds weird as I say it out loud, but it makes sense in the book. But yeah, so unfortunately in this issue, he passed away. Now, and in my review, I mentioned how as soon as I picked it, like the cover is just a black cover with white text and with a kind of like a shade of blue, just drawing of David.
Yeah, but the last issue looked like that too.
Right. No, but the thing was, is that, you know how, I don't know, has this ever happened to you where when something's happened and you get the phone call, mm-hmm. or you get the email or whatever, and you just kind of have a premonition?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just kind of have a feeling going
into
it.
Here's how it worked for me. I hadn't read my books yet, and I went to this website, ifanboy.com, and I looked up, and I saw the cover, and I saw no words next to it, and I thought, well, I guess I know what happened.
Yeah. I did put a very big spoiler warning in the review, so.
No. This is before I clicked on it, on the main page.
I'm sorry. It's okay. Anyway, so. So as I took it off the rack, usually this is a first read for me, a first book on my pile read. I put it to the bottom, mm-hmm. Partially because I knew what was going to be in it, and I kind of didn't want to deal with it because the other fact is that with issue 90 in May, this series is ending, and now the only things in my life that have lasted longer than this series have been like me watching 90210 for 10 years and like things like that. So it's really significant to me that this comic is not going to be around anymore in May, but I've kind of been ignoring it a little, just because I don't, you know, a little denial, a little bit, you know, whatever.
It was both denial. I was like, well, I don't really care about it anymore so much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, trying just to separate from it or whatever. And the thing is that the fact that this issue that of this comic that I love so much, where they're killing off a character who I don't particularly like, and I got completely engrossed and felt awful while I was reading it because mm-hmm. this guy died, like, speaks volumes of how good this book is. The emotion that Terry drew in just single panels and single moments, very few words in this issue,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of looks, a lot of moments, a lot of
because
things
the
like
one
that.
Thing that he does, and I know this sounds really lame to say, but like when I say he does facial expressions really well, he does facial expressions really well. Yeah. Some people accuse him of pulling faces a lot, yeah. which you kind of have to do, but like they're like right now, if I go to the last page in this book and I look at like the way that he's drawn the eyes on these characters,
yep.
like it immediately evokes a feeling. Like I'm not tearing up now, but I mean there are, like you get like some.
But you got a little choked up
when I read it. I definitely
you got a little
did.
Mike Romo fixing the contact, didn't you? You got that. You had to have that moment. I did. I know I did. And that's a valid excuse.
I'm admitting to that. I'm saying right now it's still giving me chills having seen it a bunch of times.
And the thing is that what I think is great about the issue, because if you go kind of page, you know, scene by scene, you know, it kind of starts off with its usual bit of comedy, usual bit of fun, and then it gets very serious when David, you know, collapses, and then it gets very kind of, you know, almost ER-like with the, you know, Kachu frantically giving him CPR and then calling the ambulance. And then Terry did this great thing where we go from reality, which is very tight lines, well drawn, you know, well inked, that sort of thing, to this kind of almost like pencil sketchbook page, which is obviously him about to pass away, like this, you know, like, you know, kind of, you know, subconscious kind of thing. And he alternates between what's going on in reality and what's going on in David's head as he's about to cross over, which I thought was just a wonderfully gentle touch and was great. And then, you know, then it gets into the kind of sorrow and crying kind of emotional aspect, and I called it out in my review, but there's a one panel, a string of three panels, when Francine gets to their house and she doesn't know what's happening. She just walks up to the house and sees the ambulance and sees Kachu, and Kachu just reaches to her and she holds her, and a tight close-up on her face as her eyes are welling up. But then there's also was a strength in her mouth and her nose in that, you know, of dealing with what's happening and being there for the woman that she loves.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just amazing. And then honestly, what killed me more than him dying, and what killed me more than the little Kachu dream of him waking up from being on the respirator and then winking at each other in the hospital, which killed me almost. But what killed me more than anything was, as opposed to the letters page and the preview of what's coming up or whatever, the issue finishes and then we get six pages of just black.
You turn the page and it's a two-page spread of black. You turn the page again, two-page spread. You do it again. It's like right in a row, and it's like ugh.
Oh, it was just amazing. It was brutal. So I mean,
last thing I read before I went to sleep.
but brutal in a good way. Mm-hmm. So I know we've kind of blathered on longer than we normally do, but it was just great. It was just fantastic.
And
so.
The other thing, you know, like we've heard from people. Some people have read it, and some haven't. I don't think Connor was too into it. It's one of those things that you got to get through one of the books, and you'll decide if you like it or not. But right now, he's got a bunch of books out, and I think I heard today that for like less than $50, you can get the pocket books.
Yeah,
and have most of the series. Which is,
honestly, you know, it'll be one of the best purchases you ever make.
A decade of comics, but just give it a try.
It's
very good.
So I'm sorry to bring the mood down.
Me to read it back in like years ago.
I did.
Yeah.
So I remember that. I remember that day. Okay. Well then. So you can put your tissues away now. We'll get back to the normal fare. But Stranger Than Paradise. So you know, this is kind of I've kind of accepted that it's ending, and I understand that death is a part of life. And
it's possible in May we could have another one of these pals, unless Connor has it that week.
Ah.
Well, if it was Connor's week, what would he have picked?
Detective Comics 826 by far.
I had a feeling you weren't going to go with Batman Confidential number one.
We'll get to that next.
Detective Comics. Let's switch gears.
All right, Paul Dini's back. Dini is back on Detective Comics, and
thank God.
I don't know if it was great because it was great, or great because the last issue was a crime against humanity.
I think it was a beautiful combination of those two things.
Yeah, I didn't read the last issue, so I didn't even know how bad it was, and I thought this was great.
This issue is basically a Robin story. Batman's is in it very little. Robin's out fighting some dudes, and he gets in trouble, and he's stuck, and this car pulls up and says, "Jump in," because he's about to get run over himself. So he jumps in, and it turns out the car's being driven by the Joker, and the Joker knocks him out, and then it's
now,
basically...
Was that a coincidence, or was that, did the Joker plan it?
The Joker said it was.
Right.
It's hard to... The Joker, you know, doesn't really tell the truth, so it's hard to say.
Right,
it doesn't
curious.
Really matter.
Doesn't, yeah. So the whole issue is Robin wakes up tied to the chair, and he's, you know, he's screwed. The whole issue is Robin escaping the Joker, and it was fantastic.
I finished this. I think this was the first or second book I read, and I finished it, and I texted Connor immediately. I was like, "You must read Detective," which he did immediately, and it was like, as soon as I finished this book, it was just that feeling. Like when you like a superhero comic is like it's supposed to be, and you just feel like, oh, that's real good, and you want to tell other people about it, and you want to talk about it.
I know exactly what you meant. When I finished this book, I was like, now this is a Batman book. Like if I had to point out to somebody what a Batman book is, this is what I would feel it would be.
This is also
not so much because Batman wasn't in it, because it was very Jokery and it was just in that
this
world.
This is exactly why you can't use the Joker all the time, for one thing.
Right.
Because
this shows how great the Joker is when he's used sparingly and used correctly.
Yeah, I mean,
he can be absolutely
horrifying.
And it's just, if you're just walking around the street, like, and there was a person like this, and really, there's no reason why there couldn't be.
Right. Yeah. He's not special other than the fact that he can't really die, seemingly.
You know, and
yeah, well, that's part of the whole super,
right.
You know.
Thing. Other than that, he's crazy.
Conscience.
Yeah. And just the way he casually just mass murders people in his car was, you know, horrific.
Driving an SUV, I might add.
Yeah. Well, he stole it from the family. I mean, that was the.
The other thing that I thought was really interesting is I really liked the way that they drew him.
Yeah.
In this, he wasn't overly cartoony. He looked like a human.
Yep.
Who was just a kind of.
He's almost scary that way, kind of like Dark Knight.
Definitely.
Returns. Yep.
But this was great. I mean, I love having Robin in the Batman books because he's not really a lot in the Batman books. So I love when he gets showcased, even though he's got his own book to be in. But
we're in a Robin renaissance right now.
We really are.
Yeah, I think you are. Tim Drake is great. I like him.
But this was just fantastic. I don't want Paul Dini to ever leave this book.
Mm. I know.
Hopefully he doesn't get any real work.
So conversely, I've been dying to know what you thought of Batman Confidential number one, which I assume you bought.
Me, yes.
Did you get it, Josh?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
What's with the eyes in this book?
The letters?
No, every single character's eyes
really
are
tired.
Blacked out.
They're really tired.
Lex Luthor, the raccoon.
Yeah. First of all, the middle pages fell out of this book.
Literally?
Yeah. second of all, before I make a fool of myself, what is the proper pronunciation of the artist's name?
Wills Portacio.
His art offended me.
He should not be drawing Batman.
He,
He took what I thought was a good script and made it just terrible. I mean,
at the same time, he made Wet Works late.
I mean, I don't know why anybody thinks this is good. I really can't fathom. First of all, let me say why I thought the book was good. The script was good. The whole angle I've read that Andy Diggle, the writer, is taking on this is it's part Batman, part Bruce Wayne, mm-hmm. which you don't get a lot of Bruce Wayne anymore. Mm-hmm. And you especially don't get Bruce Wayne, the businessman side. There's a whole subplot in here of Wayne and Lex Luthor's various, each of their companies is bidding on a government contract. And that's an interesting aspect of Batman you don't get, especially with the rivalry with LexCorp. Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at that scene in the boardroom where they are pitching to the government. Okay. Bruce Wayne is pitching to the government in a shirt.
No tie.
No tie, no suit.
It's not tucked in either.
No. Very odd. It's sort of a kimono type thing. And then in the second panel we see Lex Luthor also wearing a shirt. So I think, okay, it's a casual.
No, he's
wearing a jacket. No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
He's on the left side just wearing a shirt.
Oh my god, you're absolutely right. That's awful.
And it's casual day at the government pitch.
No, but then in the next panel.
And then in the very next panel, you see Lex Luthor, he's wearing a suit.
And it's not as much a suit, but it's like the Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat kind of jacket.
Yes, and then when they pull out, you see the suit, the jacket basically goes down to his knees.
He's got a P. Diddy jacket on.
He looks like Willy Wonka.
Whatever the hell his name is now.
The fact
and he's got the blacked out eyes and all these.
Not only is the art bad, it's not even consistent. He's wearing one thing in one panel, and the next time you see him, he's wearing a completely different outfit.
Now,
and that's beyond the pale.
I had a real problem with the Bruce Wayne Lucius scene because I felt like I saw it in Batman Begins.
Well, it was almost
word for word.
Yeah,
well, this is the beginning of Batman, supposedly.
Yeah,
it's
but
the
still,
year.
But, you know.
But I mean, I haven't seen a disconnect between the art and story since Dark Knight Strikes Again.
There were bits of the art,
which is ironic because
there were bits of the art which I didn't think were horrible. But the thing, like, some of the things stood out so much that I really didn't dig them. There's a page, where the gunman jumps out of the closet.
Right.
Yeah.
And Batman is sort of going from left to right. I think those aren't horrible pages. And I kind of, I don't know, it wasn't good, but it
no,
was...
No, that's terrible.
All right.
look at the cowl.
Well, that's just a different interpretation on the cowl. There's all sorts of things.
That's not a good interpretation of the cowl.
And he's got no waist. The belt comes up under his nipples.
All right, hold on, I'm going. He has a waist.
No, he doesn't.
All right, whatever.
I don't know if it's bad because he's drawing this and Wet Works.
It feels rushed, I will give you that.
He shouldn't be allowed to draw again.
Well, just break his wrist now. Yeah.
How come everybody looks like they've been like cracked in the forehead?
My question is, I talked this about the same thing with another book, but you have this is such a high profile book, mm-hmm. and the quality is so bad. How does this get through? How do they get these pages in the number one issue? Good stuff. Who said who puts this out there? I'd be embarrassed.
And in comparison to the beautiful work done in the Superman Confidential books,
exactly.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah.
I would be embarrassed to publish this.
I am dropping it like it's hot.
I don't know what to do.
that was a non-committal. There was a committal non-committal, I think.
No,
I really like Andy Diggle, and I really like Batman, and I like the story.
Name. Diggle.
So, I don't know. He's going to fight robots next issue.
Big robots. Let's
talk about a good book.
Ultimate Vision number one came out.
Ugh.
No. We said
instead.
Good.
Instead of that, it was a big week for number ones. But instead
Justice
of that,
Society of America number one.
Can I tell you, I love this book.
It was everything that Justice League of America wasn't.
I want to date this book.
I guess I should have bought it then.
This book, you didn't get it?
No.
Oh my god! It was. Oh my god! Go get it tomorrow.
Jeff Johns has never really made me.
He doesn't like Jeff Johns. You forget.
Unbelievable.
It's just fun old superhero.
This was great. I love Dale Eaglesham's art was awesome.
Yeah.
Like it was just like it really like I like and the thing is I flirted with the JSA for years. Like I've got a couple of trades, which was to your surprise, right?
Yes, definitely.
Josh. Yeah. And and I flirted with it and I wanted to get the last run of this and stuff like that, but I just could never because I'm not a DC guy and I never could fit it into the thing. But like I am all about JSA. Sign me up. I want to be at the table. I'm there.
Well,
I like
Jay
Garrick. I like Alan Scott. How many eyes does Alan Scott have in this issue, by the way?
That was a problem.
Yeah, okay.
He's
just
got
calling
both
it
eyes.
Out.
Oh,
calling
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in one frame I couldn't tell because he had the raccoon eye.
No, he's,
like, I thought maybe
he's
the
got
thing.
Both eyes. You can see he's not wearing the
But did somebody go around the DC Universe this week punching guys in the face?
But I love
scuba diving went wrong.
I love how the costumes are like, the costumes are subtly different, you know what I mean? They're not typical, they're more retro-y kind of, you know what I mean? Like, the Nuclon guy or whatever, the Atom guy, his costume, the face mask, and like, I don't know, I just really dig it.
Basically, it's a number one, so they're gathering a team, there's even the requisite standing around the table with photos on it.
Yeah.
And, but now then one of the heroes gets killed, and then there's some sort of, because it's Justice Society, because Power Girl's in it, there's some sort of connection to Infinite Crisis and the Earth 2 villains.
Yeah.
Especially at the end where the Earth 2 Superman appears to break out of his grave, followed by a panel by Alex Ross out of nowhere.
The last page of this was a coming this year in Justice Society of America. Remember how, like, when TV shows started and they were like, this season on, you know, and then they showed, like, glimpses of it? It was like, I was like, oh my god, this is awesome. Like, I'm here for the year. It's awesome. So, it was really good.
It was a lot of fun.
Borrow one of our copies or pick it up because it was really good. And it was 32 pages for
$3. He's not going to.
No, I thought about it. I almost
did. No, I don't blame you. You don't like Geoff Johns. You shouldn't buy it.
I want to, though.
Give it a try.
I want to believe.
You don't want to believe. You are sleeping.
Ron and Josh, did you both buy New Universal?
No.
Unfortunately, I did.
Well, I don't know. Here's my problem. I never read any of the New Universe books.
Nobody did. That's why they canceled them.
Well, some people did, and, you know, people they had that
Jason,
small.
Jason Mewes did. Yeah, that's
Jim Jimsky and people like that. But I wasn't even sure if this was in English. I don't know. I literally
rotated the book 90 degrees about four times because I wasn't sure if I was reading it the right way. I was just like, maybe it does it like this. I read the words and I saw stuff happening and something happened and
it looked really pretty.
Yeah, yeah. It was either completely over my head or was just I don't know what this was. I don't even know what this was.
I think it was a
comic book.
I think there's a lot of it was very confusing. I mean, we'll give it that. It was very confusingly written. You have a lot of characters thrown at you. And a lot of people get blown up and died for no apparent reason. And I think you have to have some sort of foreknowledge in
the
universe.
Totally.
Which is
at least
shocking
the primer
considering it's Warren Ellis.
I know.
Because he usually doesn't.
Why was Sawyer from Lost in the
I don't
jail
know.
At the end? Yeah, that was just weird.
One of the characters is
swiping. Oh, there's
photo,
Gene Hackman.
Photo, yeah, there's a lot of art addict.
Oh,
actor
look
photo
at that. Yeah.
Who's the artist?
Awful. Salvador LaRocca, which is surprising. He's gone. He's you talk about had it and lost it.
Well, the dude looks good. But
the dude with the lightning bolt, Bruce Willis.
Yeah,
it's awful.
I don't have the knowledge and I don't have the interest now. I thought I was hoping it could be something you could just jump in and like and not have to worry about it, but
gone.
Yeah. Maybe Warren Ellis should stay out of the superhero realm.
I'm sorry, guys.
Next Men, Next Wave, no good. Universal,
hey, you know what? Just because I don't think that we've bothered people enough with all this talk about Strangers in Paradise and books they don't read, let's finish up strong.
Woo!
Jonah Hex, rootin' tootin'!
Number 14. first, a confession. I got some heat from Augie DeBlick of the Pipeline Podcast last time for not liking the art by some apparently famous European artist.
You got some heat from me, too.
I got heat from you, but, you know, I value Aug's opinion more.
I respect that very much. Thank you.
I thought the art was great. I think I went back and reassessed. And it just takes some getting used to because the style is slightly different from what the art's been before.
You two have really grown so much on this show.
Just wait 5 minutes.
Me, I'm buying superhero comics left and right and liking them.
Just wait 5 minutes.
Reassessing.
We'll degrade. Anyway.
This is part two of Jonah Hex's origin, which is unusual because up to this point, it's all been single-issue stories. So this is a three-part story.
However, it should be noted that you could pick this one issue up, read it, and be fine.
Right. And there's some action in this. As want to happen in Jonah Hex, lots of dudes take some lead to the face and axes and
there'd be grisliness.
Yeah.
But what was fun about it was you did get to see a little of Jonah Hex grow up and how he got so hardcore.
Yeah, he had a bad dad.
He had a quite mean dad who threw him down a shithole. Literally.
Yeah, in the outhouse.
Yeah.
For a few days.
And he had to crawl himself out.
All right, well, that's a lovely note.
and then anyway, just after that...
Sells him to the Indians.
He gave him to the Indians.
He sells him to some Apaches.
Yeah, who treat him as a slave for several years, and then...
It was awesome!
It was awesome. And I gotta say, the art was great.
Ron, I hope you like Cowboys. It's almost Christmas.
Woohoo. can't make me read it!
Rootin' tootin'.
Yes, I can. I'm bigger than you.
And sadly, the Marvel Holiday Special did not deliver this year, unfortunately.
Wasn't last year's terrible?
Do you want to know why? Mike Carey was involved.
Oh, he's just poison.
Actually, Carey's was pretty good. He wrote a funny, like, kind of fairy tale-y kind of thing, but it wasn't that.
I have to say, I'm looking for... I used to always be a sucker for those holiday issues, but wasn't there a really good Marvel one a few years ago?
2004. I did the pick of the week.
2004 was fantastic. 2005 was awful.
Yep.
I didn't buy 2006, but I'm looking forward to DC's this year. It's got Greg Rucka in it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I love the holiday specials.
Yeah.
And Doctor Strange 3 was good, as usual. And oddly, New Excalibur number 14 was good. So, I bought like 15 books this week. I had a huge stack.
Yeah.
It was rough. Yeah, so.
I have one other recommendation that I'm going to make when we do the Avengers thing.
Okay, well, let's move on to that. So, for those of you who didn't listen last week or don't go to iFanboy.com, we had a contest this week. We're giving away copies of Marvel Scene It by Screen Life, which is a great DVD-based trivia game based on Marvel movies and Marvel comics. And what was the contest? What was the challenge that we gave to our listeners?
Well, we came up with a list of what we considered to be the preeminent best Avengers team of all Marvel time and said, we want you to cast a movie. And so they had to come up and tell us if the team was Captain America, Ant-Man, the Wasp, the Vision, Scarlet Witch, Hawkeye, Thor, and your bonus Jarvis.
And you could also cast from any time period. It could be like all-star, all-time cast. Didn't have to be current actors or their ages.
And what we learned is that a lot of you have a mat on for Matt Damon.
One more note is that... clearly, if this movie was made, the breakout role, I think, would be the Vision.
Yes, I think that's where the most, opportunity was.
Also, speaking of breaking, the point that it would break would be on the casting of Captain America.
Yeah,
that's
a hard role.
It's proven to be
the
one that's
Well, that's
the
pivotal role. You have to nail Captain America or the movie suffers. He's
so,
the heart of the team.
I got to say, before we announce the winners again, this was so much fun.
Yes.
Like, this was possibly more fun than the desktop contest, the desktop wallpaper contest.
You guys have no idea how many conversations have spawned.
We got a shitload of entries, and the conversation between us was amazing.
We have three winners.
Yeah,
we picked the three best out of many, many entries.
And the criteria for winning are if we liked it.
Exactly, if you impressed us.
It's not scientific. So don't
as much of a consensus as we could come to.
Which I think we did pretty good. I was actually afraid of the consensus factor, but I think we did all right. So.
All right,
so our first winner is...
Brian Helm.
So, Brian Helm, congratulations.
Cast for the Vision, David Bowie, which was a brilliant out of left field choice.
Awesome.
His Hawkeye was Brad Pitt.
The Bowie had a time period on it.
Well, the Ziggy Stardust time.
Not Bowie now.
No, not Bowie now.
Right. And he says, Brad... plus the people love the Bowie, which is true. Or the Bowie.
And he's also not a bad actor.
No, he's not. Labyrinth.
And as Josh and I know, the proper pronunciation is Bowie.
Yeah.
Okay. Hawkeye.
Brad Pitt, I think he has in Legends of the Fall era, which is younger Brad Pitt in his 20s.
Fair enough.
He can act. He's
he's a good actor.
Yep.
He's had bad choices and bad scripts, but he can do well when he does. Somebody else pointed out California. I would like to point out 12 Monkeys.
Yes, I love him.
12 Monkeys was what did it for me, and then followed by Fight Club. I love there's two kind of Brad Pitts. There's dramatic Brad Pitt and there's crazy Brad Pitt. I love crazy Brad Pitt. Yeah.
Bad, I like him in Ocean's 11 too.
Yeah, no,
really
good.
He brought a dimension to that character that you really didn't need to have.
He was really flat and horrible in Troy, however.
Yeah.
Where he substituted acting for staring at things.
Everybody was flat
and homoerotic.
No, not Eric Bana, who seems to have dropped off the face of the earth but does, in fact, rule.
All right, anyway, we got to get through these. Okay,
Ant-Man.
So, Ant-Man.
Ed Norton.
Which I like.
People love Ed Norton.
Yeah.
He's versatile. Thor, Stellan Skarsgård.
Stellan Skarsgård.
And as Brian points out, he's actually Nordic.
And he's 6'4". I looked it up.
Yeah, nice. Scarlet Witch.
Deborah Winger.
Left field.
He says he looks, she looks like the Scarlet Witch in the George Perez version. I'll take that.
That's true, she does.
This next one I love, Wasp.
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Genius casting right there. That's great.
One thing we found was Wasp was a very problematic role to cast.
Because people didn't know whether to do Ultimate Wasp or Normal Wasp or whatever. So, anyway.
Captain America. Now, well, let's save him for last. Jarvis, the bonus casting, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah.
Stephen Fry.
Yeah.
Who may not
good.
Be known to everybody, but he was in V for Vendetta. He was the broadcaster. Jeeves and Wooster, which is a big show at BBC. I used to watch when I was a kid.
He's been in a lot of. Who's the guy who does the Crying Game? Neil Jordan movies.
Yeah. He's a great actor, and he's a brilliant Jarvis.
So before we get to his cameos and his villain, let's do Captain America.
Now this is, I think
we
people
all
are going to hear this and go. Hur?
We all agreed though that this was the best one we heard.
Yeah.
I don't agree. You guys agreed. I totally agree.
So.
I think this one's all right, but I actually don't like this actor. So.
Well, you've got
that weird
thing.
Though. Yeah. Agree to disagree.
Josh, why don't you lay it out for the people?
He
Captain
came up
America.
with a 30s aged Ed Harris, around the time of The Right Stuff. You put a blonde wig on him to cover up that part. He's got the jaw to pull it off, and he's got the gravitas, if you will, to be the leader. They said he could be, you know, he pointed out Apollo 13 for having him be an inspiring leader, albeit a leader of engineers.
I could see this. I don't necessarily
Ed Harris love it
as much
definitely
as you guys
has
do, but...
the leadership. See, the thing about Captain America is he's got to have a bunch of qualities. He's got to be a leader.
He's got to have a jaw.
He's got to have the gravitas, and he has to have sort of the all-American quality.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people picked some actors I thought were too sort of boyish. That's I think Matt Damon's too sort of boyish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't put Matt Damon in a group, and your eyes don't go to Matt Damon. As
a lot of Robert Redfords.
Robert Redford was a good choice
yeah.
too, but he'd be a good choice. But I think Ed Harris is really the especially in The Right Stuff.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the other.
But also you need sort of all American quality because that's Captain America
really
in a nutshell. And so. Ed Harris had that in The Right Stuff.
Cool. So then Brian also had threw in some cameos, which is also kind of impressed us. I thought he said Rutger Hauer as Quicksilver, which I thought was good,
excellent.
Like a Blade Runner era Rutger Hauer. Tom Selleck as Iron Man.
Points off.
Richie Cunningham era Ron Howard as Rick Jones.
I can a little see weird.
That. I like that. And the villain, which I thought was genius, was the Kree Supreme Intelligence, Marlon Brando.
Just before he died, I guess.
Yeah. So, yes, Brian, you did nail it. So, congratulations, Brian. That's awesome. So, our next winner, I cannot find.
He went over the top. Our next winner
didn't give us his name, so we'll email him, but for now, everyone will know him as Fractal514.
Much better than 513.
Yeah, exactly.
He went all out.
We're going to have to go through these quickly if we're going to go through them all. But he did was he provided 5 different approaches to casting it.
And not any one of them really, you know, was all wow.
Yeah, but some
But overall, the effort.
Yeah, it was great. And the creativity. So let's just go through them quickly. His first one was Avengers, directed by Sam Raimi. Captain America as Kevin McKidd, the lead gladiator guy from Rome.
Now that's...
Let's just read through them, because it doesn't
Read through them. Ant-Man, Guy Pearce, which I love. Wasp, Anne Hathaway. Vision, David Hyde Pierce from Frasier. Interesting. Hawkeye, Bruce Campbell.
No.
Thor, Viggo Mortensen from The Lord of the Rings.
Good one.
Scarlet Witch, Kate Beckinsale. And the Dark Horse for Jarvis, which came up more times than I would have ever imagined. Christopher Hewitt, TV's Mr. Belvedere.
And you would not have imagined that because he played a butler on TV.
Anybody remembered Mr. Belvedere.
I have not thought of Mr. Belvedere in at least 5 years.
Comic fans, if nothing else, know how to remember things that nobody
and
else
And what
has
sucks
about.
Is that I had the TV show theme song in my head all week. Anyway. Okay.
Oh, Bob Uecker.
The next one. Somebody else want to do it, or do you want me to keep
Avengers, going? Directed by Michael Bay.
Well, Captain Avengers America? 11 Assemble.
Yeah, but Michael Bay and Steven Soderbergh are far cry from each other.
Yeah, Avengers
this
11
should have been directed by Steven Soderbergh, but it's Michael Bay. Captain America, George Clooney, Ant-Man, Matt Damon, Wasp, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Vision, Don Cheadle, Hawkeye, Bruce Campbell somehow snuck in there again. Thor, Brad Pitt, Scarlet Witch, Julia Roberts, Jarvis, the guy who played Monica Ross's father and friends.
Elliot Gould.
I wanted to say that so bad because you knew who he was.
I love Elliot Gould. I'm a big Elliot Gould fan.
Nice. Very good.
Next one. Josh, you got it or no?
The Avengers, directed by Kevin Smith, which he titles a fanboy jizz fest, maybe 4 years ago. Anyway, Captain America, Christopher Reeve when he was walking. I can see this.
And a lot.
Ant-Man, Mark Hamill, before the accident, maybe? Before the facial snarl?
I like that note that he said before the accident.
Yeah. Wasp, Marilyn Monroe in her prime. Vision, Leonard Nimoy. Hawkeye, and this one... I can't explain this one. Jason Mewes. Noige, shooting air nuts. Thor, he had Arnold Schwarzenegger before he spoke English, dubbed by James Earl Jones. That would work. Scarlet Witch, Phoebe Cates as she comes out of the pool. That's just... And of course, as Jarvis, not quite dead, Abe Vigoda.
There you
awesome.
Go.
Who, Connor and I were at our party this week, and Abe Vigoda was there.
Yes. Anyway. Abe Vigoda! Wasn't able to go to me. It looked like him.
Okay, his next one is Avengers, directed by Martin Scorsese, which he subtitled Back Off Fuckers. Captain America, Leonardo DiCaprio. Ant-Man, Dustin Hoffman. Wasp, Sharon Stone. Vision, Daniel Day-Lewis. Hawkeye, Al Pacino. Thor, Robert De Niro.
That's weird.
Scarlet Witch, Diane Keaton. And James Caan as Jarvis.
James Caan's not going to be happy with getting that role.
And the last one.
The last one is Black Avengers.
we take no credit for this.
Yes.
Earth's Funkiest Heroes.
Yeah, you did it. Good job.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Rob. Captain America, Denzel Washington, Ant-Man, Jamie Foxx, Wasp, Beyonce, Vision, Jaleel White, Hawkeye, Wesley Snipes, out of prison apparently, Thor, Ving Rhames, Scarlet Witch, Halle Berry, Jarvis, Cedric the Entertainer.
I think Denzel Washington might be able to pull off Captain America.
I think he could definitely pull off Captain America.
He would be a good one, actually, cool. If people thought that outside of the box.
So purely on massive creativity and effort, alone, yeah. Fractal 514 is another winner.
You get one. And then
our last winner
is David Wetter.
Captain America, Robert Redford from the Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid era.
Which I thought was great.
Yes, that's also a good choice. Ant-Man, Bill Paxton from True Lies.
I'll take that.
Wasp, Parker Posey.
Now, I agree with this, but not for the reason that he gave, which
just
was just
for
Bill
Paxton to slap around. Which
this brings
up, not fair. We like Parker Posey. Come
this
on.
Also brings up a thing. I think people really don't understand Hank Pym.
Yes.
Well, let's get to that. We'll finish the cast, and we can talk about it. The Vision.
Okay,
now,
this is the weirdest one. I'm sorry. I don't get it.
You don't get this one, really?
No, I get it. I think it's great casting. I don't get why people came up with it. I'm very impressed.
The Vision, Yul Brynner. I think that's perfect casting.
It's really good.
Genius. Now, what's odd is that we got Yul Brynner, but...
For Captain America also.
For Captain America, yeah, which is... I mean, he's obviously Vision, but whatever, so... Anyway,
clearly he's
impressed.
Vision. You've Scarlet Witch, folks. Shirley MacLaine from the Two Mules for Sister Sarah era, which that's going back.
That's a good casting, though.
That's
good,
impressive.
Though.
Yeah. Hawkeye, Josh Holloway from Sawyer from Lost, and Thor, a young David Prowse, which he
props
played,
to David Prowse. Yeah.
He played Darth Vader. Not sure
if you wanted to know what he looked like. If you've ever seen A Clockwork Orange, he is Julian, the big huge assistant guy of the guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
His bonus Jarvis is John Hillerman, who is Magnum PI. He was I feel ashamed.
Mr. Feeny.
No, he wasn't. Mr.
No, that's
Feeny.
A different guy.
It is.
Yeah.
Somebody else cast Mr. Feeny, though, which I thought was
funny. Yeah. Higgins on Magnum P.I.
Oh, right.
And his bonus villains are Dr. Doom, Gary Oldman, and Ultron, Orson Welles' voice only.
Yeah. Which is great. Awesome.
Really, I see Gary Oldman more as Kang.
Anyway. Yeah, that's a good role. That's good. Brian, Fractal 514, and David Wetter. So we'll email you and get in touch with you and send you out your games. And thank you to everybody else who sent in entries.
Totally fun.
It was hysterical. Some we should probably give a couple of call-outs before we move on.
Yeah.
I thought a mistake that a lot of people made was Orlando Bloom as Hawkeye.
horrible. Yes. Just because he held a bow in one movie.
Yeah, exactly. He is forever the archer.
Yeah.
I love the Mr. Belvedere casting. I love the Mr. Feeney casting as from Boy Meets World and the voice of Kit.
We should mention Jack Cutler sent in an all midget cast.
Which was awesome.
Yeah. And also his casting of Jarvis. Beautiful.
Yeah. who was it?
Jarvis, basically he had a bunch of midgets.
Yeah.
Except for Thor.
Yeah, Thor, he went with Harrison Ford. and then for Jarvis, he said a can of corn. Slightly dented. And it's just very funny.
William Josh, Daniels is Mr. Feeny. That's the voice of Kit.
Well. Oh, there you go.
Josh, why don't you talk about your beef with Ant-Man?
Well, everybody kept trying to cast Ant-Man as like some unhinged, you know, pseudo psychopath guy.
Nicolas
like
Cage, I see a lot of them. Yeah,
he's not.
We got a lot of Steve McQueen for Ant-Man. We got a lot of nobody was very like it wasn't one name keep jumping out for Ant-Man. It was all over the map.
Yeah. I think the Bill Paxton one's real good.
Bill Paxton's pretty good.
Because he's kind of unassuming, but he's also slightly heroic. And, I don't know, like, Ant-Man's, he's like a scientist. He's not unlike Reed Richards.
You know who I like? I like Ethan Hawke.
That's a good one.
Who Phil from Kalamazoo, Michigan cast. That was a good choice.
That's a very good one.
Johnny Knoxville, Gomer, what are you thinking?
He just sort of, he went... Somebody else, Peter Sarsgaard, which I think is another good one.
Yeah, Peter Sarsgaard was a really good one. I was like, yes.
That's Adam who said that. He's a regular guy, he's a brilliant, smart scientist guy, and the pressure got to him, and he cracked, and he made some mistakes. But he's not the Joker.
Yeah,
he's not Nicolas Cage. Yeah. I don't think. And maybe that's because we haven't really seen a lot of him in the past. He's not being featured in comics very much, so we don't know who he is. He's just the jokey guy who beats up his wife. That's what he's become.
Did he ever beat her up, or was it just emotional?
Yes, he's hit her more times. Yeah. Actually, Wizard did a whole spread of the number of times that he hit her, and it was kind of funny. So, yeah.
Not way funny.
No, I mean, it was just, I mean, in the gun.
One of the other things is people were cast me, like no one had a handle on Wasp either.
Yeah. Wasp was all over the map.
Yes,
But, you know, it's hard. I think Wasp was a hard one to get.
And actually, maybe it's both of the girls, Wasp and Scarlet Witch. They were just like half of them were just like, this girl's hot, and that's true. Somebody chose Monica Bellucci for the Wasp.
We got a couple of those.
That was J.
No, not Wasp for Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch. I'm sorry, Monica Bellucci is Scarlet Witch. J.R. Shear, which I thought was a great cast because she's got she's foreign and she's sexy, but she's not young and she's strong. But we can go on about this.
A couple of my favorites. I was surprised to see Aaron Eckhart as Captain America, and I actually really like that casting.
It's not bad.
Because the chin is there, and Aaron Eckhart does have a charisma that, you know, has been used mainly for like kind of a Lothario, but you know,
he just exudes sleaze.
He might be better as a Hawkeye.
I like him a lot as an actor.
I love seeing Kiefer Sullivan as Hawkeye. I think that was good too.
I like Steve Hanel cast me as Thor.
Yeah, that was funny.
Which I'll take it. One more thing, Josh and I were talking about this at work because literally we talked about this all week with these entries. We love Steve McQueen as Hawkeye.
Yeah. How can you not?
Somebody has him as Captain America. Yeah.
Not so Captain America. He's too dark for Captain America.
Yeah.
Love Steve McQueen.
I just wanted to bring up, if you dig these Avengers and you haven't gotten into them for a while, there's a miniseries going on by Joe Casey about almost this exact same Avengers team right now, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. And it's right about the time that Vision, who was a creation of Ultron, who was supposed to destroy the Avengers, was put on the team, and it's about like their first team up, and Hank Pym is actually the leader of this team, and it's him coming to grips with being a leader. The art is a little weak at times. Yeah, it's getting a little better. It's grown on me a little bit. I'm afraid that this is going to be some guy who I should know from the past, and he's like some... But it looks... It also... Like, the art kind of fits the time period. Because of this is comics from the 80s.
I haven't been bothered by the art at all. I'm loving the series, and actually, it seems like it's coming out like biweekly almost.
Yeah, which like, kind of sucks. All the time. It's $4.
Yeah,
but at the same time, this Avengers team, it's a great. It's like
this is great. I love it.
So if you've been hankering for those, that's something you can get on right now.
And Josh's least favorite casting was Alex Albrecht from Dignation as Ant-Man.
That doesn't make any damn sense at all. But even worse than
you want to know what didn't make any sense? Was Hulking Marvel Man saying Dan Buckley is Jarvis. like the publisher of Marvel?
He's a big really? Dude. All right, well, what so was awesome. That? Wait, no, there's one that I've been meaning to talk to you about from that same one. Yeah, there it is, from C. Kevin Porter. Listen, I don't know what you're thinking. Ron thinks you're brilliant because you think outside of the box.
I love it.
Who does he have for Captain America?
Jason Bateman of Arrested Development fame.
Michael Bluth?
I think he can do it.
That's about as wrong as you can get.
Wait, you think Captain America could be played by Jason Bateman?
I think it would be a stretch, and I would be glad. It could be a career defining moment for him. C. Kevin Porter also said Jarvis should be played by Pete Townsend. So let's move on.
Who else wears Brian tuxedos Hallam, all day?
Brian Hellum, Fractal 514, and David Wetter.
Congratulations!
Nice. We'll do more things like this. That was
yeah,
fun.
We loved it. It was awesome. All right. This episode that was brought to you by GeekArmor.com, and GeekArmor.com is where you can pick up some great T-shirts for the geek lifestyle. They've got comic book T-shirts and video game, sci-fi movie, and all the and TV T-shirts, everything that you can imagine. So go to GeekArmor.com.
I can imagine quite a bit.
And mention nice, well done. And mention that you heard about it from my fanboy. So, all right, we are so behind on time, so we got to blow through this email. Our first one comes from Chris. Who's starting to get into the Vertigo line of books, and who's wondering, do they ever put out absolute type editions of their books?
Well, just Sandman.
Just Sandman so far?
Yeah, okay. Other than that, they're all out. I mean, the one thing Vertigo does really well is they put out regular trades.
Right
away, very well.
But if you're looking for a big omnibus absolute, it's only Sandman, which is the first 20 issues of Sandman.
Right, but now that they're rolling out these absolutes and we're eating it up like candy, I bet you we'll see a lot more. I wouldn't be surprised.
You probably see you'll probably see an absolute preacher. Yeah. After that, it gets crazy.
absolute Sandman Mystery Theater. Anyway, okay.
I don't think that was big enough.
I know. I'm kidding.
Oh,
all right.
It was
cool.
A good book, though.
Yeah. It was a good book. Chris, just go to Amazon and type in Absolute Sandman and you'll find it.
Yeah.
All right, so if you have any questions for us, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. We'd love to get your emails and answer them here on the podcast, and we'll do our best to get back to you. So now let's move on to the voicemail. Our first voicemail's got a question about an upcoming Marvel book.
Hey, guys, how's it going? This is Dave in Denver, and I was talking to my friend, and he says that Stephen King's coming out with a comic book of, The Dark Tower? Anyway, I was wondering if you guys had heard about this. Thanks.
Dave, luckily you've chosen something we actually know about.
We have heard about this.
Because at the Marvel panels this summer in San Diego, they talked about it, and basically they're going to be doing a Dark Tower comic. And Joe Quesada told this really interesting story about how they were all on the phone with a conference call with Stephen King. And Stephen King just started riffing and described...
It was like 2 hours, didn't he go for like...
Yeah, he described the whole story, start to end, beginning, middle, and an end, exactly what it would be, what it could be, and they had a book, and they're going with it. So I'm not exactly sure when it's coming out.
I was just going to say, fucked if I know when it's coming out, though. I keep hearing people talk about it, like Peter David's involved somehow, and mm-hmm. and you know, people, and other... Chris Eliopoulos is inking it, is lettering it, but... Damn if I know when it's coming out.
You know, so. Some people knock Stephen King. Some people don't like him, but you got to give the guy credit. He's got stories.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
I mean, his head's full of stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love his nonfiction work. Whenever he writes as himself,
yeah,
he's fantastic.
His column in Entertainment Weekly is always a good read.
Mm-hmm. So. Also, his book, one of those things, if you are one of the comic fans who want to be a writer, so you probably are, his book on writing was awesome. And he basically just says write all the time and read a lot.
So our next voicemail comes from one of our favorite states of Indiana.
Hi, guys. This is Dan from Greenwood, Indiana. Just had a couple questions for you guys. Just wanted to know if you guys seen the Donner cut of Superman 2 and what you guys think. And also, if you had to give a grade to 52 and Civil War, what would it be? Thanks for your time. Bye.
Well, I'm hoping somebody brings it to me on Christmas.
Yeah, I would have bought the Donner cut, but I have no...
We're on DVD embargo right now, right?
We can't buy anything for ourselves until December 25th. That's what we do.
Sixth.
So that's what I do. So,
In the afternoon, December 25th, I'm out at the store buying everything.
Yeah, exactly. Buying everything I didn't get. Grades for 52. Let's do standard academic grading.
Ooh.
Let's do Civil War first.
No, I'm ready for... All right, fine. Civil War. I give it a B-.
It's not over yet, though.
So what? We're answering his question.
Sorry.
C.
See?
I think it started out as a solid A, and then it just...
Oh yeah, well that's why mine is B minus because every day you don't hand that paper in, you get another letter grade knocked off.
You know what? I'm not falling into this trap because it's not over. I haven't seen the whole thing yet.
I mean, right, I can oh, play so the far. Game.
Oh, fine. No, he's out of the game. It's fine. All right, Connor, 52.
52. I'll give it a B.
I give it a B plus.
Yeah,
solid.
Because
it's a solid
because
B.
It's not over yet, Josh.
Yeah, you're not in this town. You're not in this conversation.
No, because I don't have terribly good feelings about Civil War right now, so I'm reserving judgment. But 52 started off slower and is gained speed, and just for the sole fact of we're however many 30 something weeks in, and they haven't missed a beat.
Yeah, I got to ding it because they didn't care about the artwork that much. So
I don't think it's care about. I think it's
speed.
Get it done.
Yeah.
It's one of those things like, you know, like when they make something with a low budget and you have to go out and you don't have time to light and you use lesser cameras.
Yeah.
I look at it.
We
like
know
that.
Nothing about that.
It's DM. Yeah. That's funny.
Right. That was my entire college career doing film.
Our next voicemail scares the bejesus out of us.
It's been a while.
Hello, this is Daryl. Stalking through the cold streets of New York. And how could you pick Strangers in Paradise as the pick of the week? It's overrated. JSA number one was the best. And Civil War number five was crap. Crap, crap, crap. Goodbye. And Heroes is the best show on television.
He's getting better. He's really getting better.
I love how he's always got to have the last word. Like, he says goodbye, and then he has one more thought.
You know, he's like Columbo.
Yeah.
Just one more thing.
He's nothing like Columbo.
I pictured Daryl walking through the streets of New York with a trench coat, and it's raining.
And a hunter's cap.
Yeah. No, not a hunter's cap. But he's stalking the streets in the rain with a trench coat billowing about.
Just the way, by the way, in case you're out there thinking I'm about to do a Columbo voice, you're sorely mistaken.
I wasn't thinking that, but good.
Thank God. All right.
Daryl, keep calling.
Yes, please. We get worried when we don't hear from you, Daryl.
We
so
talked
sure you
about
post.
Detective quite reverently.
Yeah, and JSA. We agree with you, JSA. So, and Daryl, you know, open up to your emotional side. Maybe you'd like Strangers in Paradise.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. All right, so if you want to call us, if you're stalking the streets of your town and want to tell us about it, you can call 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697. We love the voicemail.
And we can't stress this enough. 1-800-FANBOYS.
Not us.
Not the place you
want
to go. Not
us. Yes, 1-888. That's 888 is your friend.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. So Frapper is back working again, right, Connor?
We got the numbers back. 552.
Yeah. Awesome.
Which is awesome.
So go to Frapper.com/iFanboy and see all the new people. We're not going to get through them all because we're running out of time. But
put your damn pin in the map, kids.
Yeah. Cool. So, and after you go to Frapper.com/iFanboy, just go to iFanboy.com and you can see all the fun discussion that's going on. It's been a great week on
Gee.
The site.
Oh, exactly. Gee. What is that? What does that mean? Maybe you should go to the site and find out. I'm not telling you.
If you're dissatisfied with Wizard the Magazine, go to iFanboy.com and read about Augie DeBleek Jr. of ThePipelinePodcast.com. And then you'll know. So.
Oh, jeez.
Go to myspace.com/iFanboy and be our friend. But we're not going to hang out there a lot, so just come back to the website after that. Also, if you really like the site, one of the things you can do to help us out is you can tell people about it, or you can go to iTunes and write us a review. We really, 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 really appreciate that. You can go to Podcast Alley and vote for us, or Podcast Pickle. If you're in your comic shop, talk about it and tell people and get people to listen, and that would be great. But if you really like us, if you really like us a lot, where should they go?
If you go to iFanboy.com/donations, you can go and you can donate to the cause via PayPal.com, and you can use your credit card or checking account or PayPal account. We got a couple of different denominations, or you can choose your own.
Also, if another more indirect way, if you want to help us out, if you're going to be buying stuff at Amazon, go there through iFanboy. Just go to our site. There's an Amazon banner there.
All your holiday shopping.
So that would be very helpful. Thank you very much.
Yes. So with that said, I'm Ron.
Connor.
Josh.
Bye.